Hello there, listeners, and welcome to the Purim special episode! Woohoo! It's not gonna be a very pleasant episode. The last special episode for holiday, it was a Christmas special, and it was actually like a nice optimistic special episode. But this one is not going to be pleasant, because in this episode I want to focus on the religious background story of Purim, and about the relevant that it's have to the today present reality in Israel, in the Middle East, and it's not pleasant, as you know. Okay, but first, maybe for the listeners who do not know what is Purim, I will shortly tell that Purim is I think that the most front aspect of Purim is that it's the Jewish Kastun holiday. You know, as Christianity, or at least Christianity in America, I'm not sure if they're doing this in Europe, have like Halloween. And all kind of other religious and cultures have custom holidays. So also the Jewish culture have a custom holiday. The custom wearing habit coming actually from the Jewish communities in Italia. As far as I know, they took the inspiration from the Italian Carnival, just showing us again that culture is not something that is closed within borders of nationality, but it's fluid. Yeah, because nationality is, as I see it, is an imaginary idea, and culture is actual reality of how inspiration and knowledge and ideas and habits are transforming and moving within the human tissue. So you can see the costume wearing holiday as a general worldwide human phenomenon, but in the Jewish culture, as they call it, it's take the form of Purim. And yeah, it's like, for me, Purim is the holiday when the general society subconscious is rising up to the surface. It can be scary, it can be beautiful, it can be inspiring, it can be healing, it can be releasing. I think I have the feeling that this year it's going to be quite scary, I guess, because everyone are in post-trauma, or at least like many, many people. In previous Purim, I've noticed that the popularity of costumes of people that wear uniform that serve the state, like using violent that they've given by the state, you know, like policemen and military people and secret agent and like specific unit in the military and stuff like this. These are the most popular costumes, as I see it, between for children, at least. And this is very, very terrible. I have the feeling that this year it's going to be worse. But who knows? It still didn't happen. It's in 2 weeks from now. Maybe it will be nice and happy. But I'm afraid it will be very scary and depressing. Anyway, that's generally about Purim. So there is the customs, and there are special cookies that I actually have a very nice story about the cookies that I like. But maybe I will keep it to the end as like a soft ending, because it's going to be quite a rough episode, because the main aspect of Purim that I want to focus on in this episode is the story. For me, as a non-religious child coming from a non-religious family and community, the story wasn't very important. Like, I knew the basic storyline, but never go to the details, and I think I only actually know it by details is it's when I read it as an adult. Because I read the Bible, at least like a big part of it, like a third of it. I wanted to like know what's written there. So in some point in my life, like 10 years ago, I sat and read it. I got the way to the third, and then it was too boring. But yeah, the first third was actually quite interesting, and one of the interesting part of it was getting to know with the story of Esther, the tale of Esther, which is the story behind Purim. Yeah, I think when I read it in the first time, like what it was not 10 years ago, maybe 7 or 6 years ago, I find it quite terrible. And yesterday I was sitting in the evening with friends, and suddenly I got the point about how connected it is to today's reality, and how terrible it's going to be when people gonna read it, and obviously connect it with the present time. Within 2 weeks, when Purim will happen. So I will tell you the story, and I see maybe you don't find it terrible, but I will explain you why I find it terrible, and I will tell you the story. So it goes like this. In the beginning, the story starts in a very, very, very big empire, or a kingdom, if you want, okay, if you wish. The kingdom of King Ahasuerus. And it's going the land that is under the control of this big patriarchalic kingdom is from India until where today is Ethiopia. So okay, so it's like a big place, and it's a very rough like a patriarchalic kingdom with a king on the top named Ahasuerus. Yeah, as you if you listen to preview episode of the podcast, so you know that one of the most based poles of the reason why we see so much violence around us in human society, and especially here in the Middle East, and especially now, in my understanding or in my opinion, is the idea of patriarchalism and the structure of patriarchalism, kingdoms or empires or state or whatever how you want to call it. Okay, so we got this big patriarchal kingdom with Ahasuerus the king, and we have, because it's such a big kingdom, we have many, many groups of people living within the kingdom. One of those groups is the Jewish people. And by that I mean those people that were under the authority of the Jewish kingdom that was thrown apart and exiled. As you know, if you listen to like go to the first 10 episodes, I'm telling this historic story. So we have those, yeah, it's kind of actually like going back to the kind of maybe like a bit continuation of this line of episode that I started with. So it could be nice to those who didn't listen to it to go back to the early episodes and listen to the storyline, the prehistoric and historic storyline that I described there, because this is like kind of a continuation to this. So you have those Jewish people are spread around this big empire. Some of them are living in the capital city named Shoshan. And there is all kind of other groups living in this capital city. I don't think it's mentioned in the story, I'm not sure, but I heard maybe some investigator that investigate the historical background of the story or something, I don't know. From somewhere I have the idea that there is another minority group there, okay? And there is a main character in the story named Haman that is coming not from the Jewish people, but from this other minority group. I don't know, maybe he just it's maybe it's not a minority group, but he have like a big family anyway. Okay, so it's important to the story. Remember this. This guy is either like a part of a specific minority group, or either just he have like a big family or a big like number of people that like connect with him in some way. Okay, like a nation or some kind of like people that count as a group. Okay, remember this, put it in the side. So this guy Haman is like the king right hand or assistant or advisor or something like that, not that important. in my perspective. He's like walking with the king when the king is moving through the public space. And he's noticing that one person, you see, when the king is passing by, everyone are bowing down because, as you can expect from a patriarchal kingdom, you are the civilians or the... It's not civilians, it's just... slaves, I guess, in a way, which are everyone else but the king, in some sort of way. So they all have to bow when the king passes, because they need to like lower themselves as a show of respect or respect for authority or something. You need to lower yourself down for the supreme king. And there is one man that is not bowing down, and Haman noticing that. And he's like, who is this man who don't bow? And he asks people and they tell him, oh, this is Mordechai, he's Jewish. They are not bowing for the king because they only bow for their own bigger supreme patriarchalic... I'm putting this word in the story. Yeah, the word patriarchalic is not appearing in the original story. It's my interpretation. Yeah, so my interpretation for monotheism is like a larger scale of a patriarchalic organization. Okay, have like this body idea as like the highest source of patriarchalic authority. As I see it, if you disagree, go to the Bible, read it, then ask yourself again if you disagree. Okay. So he only bowed down to the Jewish God. So Haman, he hates Jewish people. I don't know if because they don't bow or because something else. I'm not sure if it's have any explanation in the story. And that's actually a it's a good point. Because, you know, it's like, I think the story, maybe I'm wrong, but I think the story is going from the point of like saying that Haman is just hating the Jewish people because he's a hater that hate and is full of hate and he hates them. Something like this. And it's interesting. Does the story like give any answer to the question, why does Haman hate the Jewish people? Because if someone hates me, I want to know like why. Not that it's justified to hate me. I don't think there is never justified to hate, but again, just to understand what's bothering this person. So I don't know. I don't know why he hates the Jewish people, but he does. And he go to Ahasuerus, the king, and he tell him like, my lord, this year there is like one Jewish person, and he... Maybe I will do like a Farsi Excel accent. Because the whole Shoshan is in where now is Iran, that used to name Paras. He's telling Ahasuerus. No, it will be difficult to make Farsi accent in English. Sorry, I'm not prepared for that. So he go to Ahasuerus and he tell him like, oh my lord, there is this. I'm just doing a character. This is, I think, I'm doing the character. As I imagine it, by the reflection in how the general Israeli society like kind of reflect this character, I think it's like kind of like a Disney evil kind of a thing. Again, so we go in like, oh my lord, there is this Jewish man, Mordechai. He will not bow when you pass by. And anyway, those Jewish people are a bunch of assholes, and they never bow, and they don't show you respect or something like that. We need to kill them all. Yes, let's kill them all. And the king said like, okay, I don't know. It sounds fine to me. If you say so, go do so. Throw the dice, set a date, and in this date I will let you and your nation or a big family or something, going back to that, massacre the Jewish people. That's fine with me. The king say that, and as far as I remember the story, I think the rumor passed by, and there is like the Jewish people are coming to know about the fact that they're going to be slaughtered. Is it like ringing a bell with like modern days, you know, like the slaughtering all the Jewish people, October 7, something like this, kind of like, yeah, okay, so that's like. That's easy to detect the connection, but I'm going farther on with this, and we're gonna make it a part two of the episode because we're going to 15 minutes now, and I want to keep the episode in a certain size. So part two is coming up.